Great. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the December 2nd board meeting of Urban Montessori Charter School. I'm calling the meeting to order at 6:18 p.m. Greg, can you take roll, please?
Sure. Christina Greenberg. I think she's going to be absent tonight.
She's not here.
Davis.
I am here.
I'm Greg. I'm here. Jan.
Here.
Kara. And Maru. I don't think Maru's going to be able to join us. And Stacy. It's not.
See her.
Okay, so we have four of our seven current board members are here. So we have quorum, so we can begin.
Excellent. All right. Do we have any need to reorder any of our items today on the agenda? No? Anyone? Okay. Does not look like it. Do we have any appreciations from the board or community members?
I have two appreciation. I have a lot of appreciations, but I'll start with two. One, the Finance Committee did this for Stacy at her at the last Finance Committee meeting. But this Stacy's ending her term, and she can't make it tonight because she has a big like work event that she couldn't miss, so she couldn't be here tonight. So we feted her a little bit at the Finance Committee meeting, but her term ends on New Year's Eve, and just want to say thank you for her amazing work for the school, and it's just been awesome. So just a huge all around appreciation for Stacy.
Agree. Yes. Appreciate having you on the board in these past couple of years, Stacy.
Anyone else?
Sorry, we got one more. Go ahead. Yeah.
I would like to appreciate our fundraising committee for working their butts off to get our long delayed auction up and running this week. It's very exciting to see.
Can you guys hear Sarah?
I think
she tried to speak.
She speaks a little louder.
Hi, everyone. I just want to appreciate being asked to come join. It's really great to be in this space tonight with everyone. So excited to continue to learn.
Thank you, Sarah. Do we have any other appreciation?
My other appreciation was just for folks like Sarah and Donald, who also was curious, and just our FEC reps, just everyone who's stepping up and being interested in board service, and also to Sita for her stepping up into her FEC leadership role, and the messages that are already coming out have just been so lovely. So thank you also, Sita.
Awesome. Do we have any other appreciations?
I have one for teachers coming back from break. I've had a few coaching meetings where teachers were talking about on their break, like things that they did or found that they're like, oh, I'm going to bring that to my classroom. And so they're like, even during their break, teachers were thinking about what are the new things that I can connect to my students to the world outside of the school community. And so to our teachers, we're always thinking about our students.
Awesome. All right. Anybody else?
Yeah, I'll build off teachers. I had two parent conferences here for teachers, and it was just awesome. It was just so amazing to just have that protected time with the teachers and get updates and talk about your own kid and also just to get to know the teachers a little bit better too. It was just fabulous. So thank you to particularly those four teachers that I was directly connected to, but to all of them for sure. Yeah.
Okay, I want to appreciate Marcella, who's on the call right now, for the best email I've received all year, and her generous offer to support with traffic on certain days of the week. Thank you.
Thank you, Marcella. Anyone else? Any other appreciations? All right, if there are not, we will move on to board member comment. Do any board members have any comment on items not on the agenda? Doesn't look like it. All right, does anyone have any presentations from the floor? Or would anyone like to speak on items not on our agenda tonight? All right, I will hand it over to Krishna for the head of school report.
My sound too. Sorry, we all trying to like speak to each other, so like microphone on Zoom four other people on the same thing. Just a sec, I will share my screen and pull up our report. All right. Welcome, it's December. It's nice to see everybody here. Thanks for joining us. Daniel and I are going to trade off some of the speaking on this. So some upcoming events. We've had some recent events, and I think maybe we'll have some reports on those from FAC, maybe, or not. You guys can talk about that. Okay. But we're really excited about our online auction. Please go bid. Take a look at all the amazing items that our volunteers have amassed. Also, just a reminder, we are still offering free COVID testing to the community on site on Fridays every week that we're in school. We are also attempting to host a vaccine clinic pending 50 signups. So if you can recommend that to any families, we're doing that during the school day for students and for staff who want to take part in that, both for boosters or for initial vaccination. And I think we are open to including parents and community members. It will be done outside on the yard. And if we have interest, we will figure out the logistics of inviting adults to also in our community to join that. However, I think we need to have 50 signups by tomorrow, and it kind of looks like it's probably not going to happen. The good news around that is it means other people are getting vaccinated elsewhere. Just reminders, we have another holiday break coming up. No school December 20th through the 3rd, and the January 3rd, which is the Monday after the usual break, is a professional development day, and there's no school for students. I'm going to pass it to Daniel, but let me mute.
You turn your sound on. My sound is on. So some instructional updates. Over the past few weeks in our coaching meetings, a lot of our focus has been around continued work with systems and procedures, which we've been trying to implement all year. But we've also been focusing a lot on data collection. So we've finished our first round of our DIBBLES and NWA. So we're looking at that data, but we're also looking at other pieces of data that we're collecting. So student work, classroom observations, and like making sure that we're building in times to observe classrooms, especially in between lessons, to see how students are coming out of lessons. So that's been a topic that we're talking a lot about in our coaching meetings. And in the elementary classrooms, we've been having a lot of conversations about how do I move from students doing individual follow-up work to building in more opportunities for collaborative work in groups of students. And so one thing that's come up and in all of our observations and in our data, what we're seeing really is that as we return to in-person instruction, the challenges have been more for older students, so in upper elementary and middle school. And so one thing that we're doing looking at our middle school program is working with the adolescent team and myself and Krishna to really collaborate on how do we, what are some adjustments that we can make to support the Amethyst classroom and their students and their staff. And so some of the things that we're looking at are, one of the things is a shift in the schedule for the day and building a little bit more structure in that schedule, which is designed, and there's a draft schedule linked here to have the seventh and eighth grade split for the day to make sure that students are getting their grade level curriculum, but also to maintain that kind of small student to teacher ratio at all times. So having that 18 students with one teacher throughout the day in that draft schedule. And so looking at that curriculum instruction, that also means that the teacher prep needs increase since there's a math, like for example, one of the teachers would be doing math 7-8 and then science 7-8. And so to ease the load there, we're also looking at instructional resources, both for math, humanities, actually, and science also. So looking at that, teachers are gonna keep doing their daily prep for self-expression at least, but we are looking at possibly doing instructional support there for the integrated science also. Additionally, we're looking at just clarifying for some the systems that exist for students and the new systems that would exist in the new schedule and making sure that teachers are communicating weekly around what kind of academic topics are covered in class. Sorry, that was a lot of information.
All right, back to me. We're going to talk enrollment a bit, which is exciting. Talk a little bit first about current year enrollment. We are still enrolling in some grade levels. So I have like live numbers from whenever I made this slide today, earlier this afternoon, on our current number of students per grade level. And then we're also expecting some new students next week. We have three students returning from leaves of absence next week, and then we have two more in the pipeline, one with completed paperwork and one with who's accepted an offer but not completed all the registration paperwork. So we're excited about our total numbers being still continuing to increase a bit. This is not going to be reflected yet in our finance committee stuff, so it's all positive news, and we're just excited to continue to welcome kids. We're still actively accepting in first grade, TK, maybe a few more in kindergarten, but we're going to pause until after the break, and as we get more applications, we'll evaluate our numbers and see whether we can continue to extend offers. So we're also rolling straight into our application season for next year, which is really exciting. We already have 65 applicants so far spread across grades, mostly in TKK at this point, but also a slightly larger chunk in sixth grade. Those applications are open, I think, until the end of February or something like somewhere, and I'll get that exact date for future, but you probably find it pretty easily at Oakland Enrolls, which is linked. We're doing active outreach and recruitment, particularly looking at TKK students. We did several Head Start events last week. I'm looking forward to connecting with Unidas Familias. Sorry for the misspelling again or misordering. It's my English kicking in on my slides, and our FAC to think of other creative options for how to recruit students. And we're conducting tours most weeks. We have one or two tours we took this week after break off. I think we have two scheduled for next week, and we'll continue to have tours available. Currently, they're all on Zoom, but we're doing some during the school day where we can show some live things, and as well as some evening events. And so like a little snippet from a tour, we have a nice little video we showed at our last tour. It occurs to me that I may have forgotten to share my sound, so let's see if it works.
I'm
anyways, that is what it looks like in a primary classroom. And I know not many people have been in our classrooms this year, so we were excited to share that. And it occurs to me that probably lots of parents haven't seen what it looks like in our primary classrooms. That's what it looks like. It looks lovely. It's playing again. Let me figure out how to go to the next slide instead of clicking that over. All right, so I want to talk a little bit about COVID vaccination mandate from OUSD. To be clear, this is not a Urban Montessori mandate, but just a little refresh for anybody who might not be aware of what's been going on regarding vaccination mandates from Oakland Unified. Sometime, I want to say it was last month or a little bit earlier, the OUSD school board decided to issue a mandate for students who turn 12 on or before December 1st being required to be vaccinated to remain in in-person instruction as of January 1st. So the interesting loophole here is that not only does this apply to students enrolled in OUSD schools, it applies to any students who are going to school on OUSD property, which then applies to us and any other charter that rents a facility from the district. So we got this information, and so our operations staff has immediately started reaching out to families with older students to confirm vaccination status, share more information, support families who prefer to pursue an exemption, which does exist from OUSD. There's some recent updates from last night's OUSD board meeting that will be coming up soon that might extend the date of enforcement, which is good news, but we haven't actually heard that officially from district staff yet, so we'll share that when it comes out. But as of right now, we have been reaching out actively to all of our families. We have 53 total students who are 12 as of today. All of these families have been contacted in multiple ways, and the large majority have been reached. There's 20 approximate, these numbers are maybe not exact, but about 26 who are currently unvaccinated, but of those, the large majority of those parents verbally stated their student is vaccinated. They just haven't provided us with documentation, or that their student is partially vaccinated and will be vaccinated, have their second shot soon. There are a few families who have inquired about the exemption, and we're supporting families in making sure that they know how to get those filled out. And this isn't a UMCS mandate, so our ultimate goal is to support families in compliance with this mandate so that we don't have to exclude any students from school. So whether that's providing access to vaccination or supporting families in understanding how to complete the exemption forms so that that can be completed and we can be in compliance with the mandate and students can remain at school. That's the ultimate goal. We have 8 total people that we have been unable to reach, but who have been contacted through Parent Square, emails, and phone calls. So, looking good on that front. And if anybody hears from anybody, direct them to us. We want to help. So some staffing updates. We don't always love to give these in December, but if you're reading my messages, you probably heard that Coach Kelly resigned just before the break. And so just updates on that. We actually have 2 interviews scheduled tomorrow. And for potential PE candidates. And we have 2 applications for English language specialist type positions that we're reviewing and hoping to have solutions for how to by January. And we have lots of other internal solutions we can share of how we're supporting students in the interim. And me and Daniel, we always got plan B, plan C. So we'll be sharing those as needed, but we're really excited about our applicants and looking forward to hopefully sharing introductions soon. And then this is right in line with actually the time in which we usually launch our typical hiring season. Recruitment starts in January, February, where we begin reposting all of our jobs for 2022-23. So we're excited to start doing that next month too, after the break. All right, that's it. That was a lot of talking. Any questions? I will drop out of my share.
Daniel, about what instructional resources in middle school looks like, concretely, what is that?
We're looking at different.
Can you repeat that? I couldn't hear.
What do the instructional materials look like in the middle school classroom?
we're looking at different curriculum for math and ELA. So we had a meeting with the organization today, and they are going to set us up with a pilot for that curriculum.
It's hard to hear you, Daniel. Sorry to interrupt.
How about now?
Much better.
Okay. So we're looking at different curriculums for math and ELA in particular. We met with an organization today to set us up with a pilot soon to kind of explore those materials to see if that's going to be a good fit. But we also have some, especially for math, like some things that Christian and I used when we were math teachers in OUSD also. So we're looking at a few different things and kind of narrowing down the choices in the next couple of weeks.
What's the pilot that you're looking at?
We're looking at Amplify ELA, and they have a new math program that works with Desmos.
Just to be clear, that is not decided. Mm-hmm. However, I'll speak. That's not decided what the curriculum is, but we do have a parent meeting with Amethyst teachers scheduled for week after next, where we'll share all that information, and we will have final schedules and just like information on specific curricular materials by that date. But we literally had a meeting like at 5 today, so I'm like, let's not, I don't want to commit. We haven't confirmed with teachers and been able to explore those materials with our staff, and you're definitely a big part of all the decision making that's happening.
Go ahead.
Any other?
I just had a question about enrollment. I know TKK is the focus. I was wondering if there's been any understanding of where typically TK and K students come from that feed into the school. Is there a particular pattern or group of preschools that you see coming? That was like a really weird way to ask the question. Are there, like, where do kids typically come from? Much more direct.
I don't think that we have a, like, a large feeder.
Okay.
Because kids are coming from all over across Oakland. Hmm. But we have done these Head Start events that we did in 2 weeks ago, mm-hmm. 3 weeks ago. We've done that in the past. And so I know that that's one of the pathways, but also, well, go ahead.
Word of mouth. When we do like address analysis, they're pretty widespread. And so yeah, I think I agree with Daniel that like I'm not aware of any direct feeders. I think that we're doing the majority of our recruitment in areas to like support having demographics that match the city of Oakland, because we tend to not need to recruit as many applicants in some areas and others, and we have a significant amount of word of mouth, I think, from our community members. So like, but no specific preschools, little ones here and there for sure, but and groups that will come in together, but not consistently necessarily every year after year, if that makes sense.
We definitely get some.
Figure out.
Now you're all muted.
I just have a comment that if people want the latest on the COVID-19 vaccine mandate from OUSD, there was an article written up just today that I put in the documents for this meeting, because OUSD just took another action about that last night, effectively pushing the enforcement of the mandate back until the end of January. Are there other questions or comments about anything in the head of schools report? There's a lot. It's about upcoming events and instructional updates, the middle school program, enrollment, staffing, recruitment. It's a busy life being the school leader.
It does not look like there are any other questions. So Greg, with that, I'll hand it over to you for Finance Committee and I will jump into minutes.
Awesome. Okay, I will share my screen. Finance Committee talked about a lot of stuff. Let me get this out of the way. So besides just missing Stacy, we talked about a lot of things. So we're gonna go over a lot of the same information here for the whole board and for the public again. But I'm gonna go a little faster than what we did at the Finance Committee meeting. So first of all, we're gonna look at how we're doing year to date. So since July 1st, how is the budget going? And can everyone hear me okay? I'm guessing. Okay, great. So the operating income got a little bit better since the last time we looked at this. These numbers are as of the end of October. We don't have the numbers yet as of the end of November. And so you can see that we were forecasting an operating deficit of $160,000, but now that's down to $91,000. And you can see that even with that operating income deficit for this one current year that we're in right now, we still end the year with a very healthy fund balance of roughly 30% of our expenses in our fund balance. And that, if people are wondering, that that operating income basically represents like the return to in-person instruction and maintaining kind of our class sizes, particularly in primary, where kids don't have access to vaccines, not yet. And so it helps keep all three primary classrooms. I mean, that amount of money is kind of not quite the exact same, but it's like you can think about it as an investment in keeping all three primaries open while we work this upcoming school year to like enroll all the TK and Kers again that aren't necessarily here right now. I'm going to say one more thing about this year, and then I'll pause for questions about this current fiscal year budget, which is just to say that cash, this is how cash flows for the rest of the year. And you can see we're right about at 3 months of expenses, which is great. That's kind of a great goal to hit, to have cash on hand. And cash basically only gets, it basically is better or at 3 months of expenses for the rest of the fiscal year through the end of June. So, and then I guess I'll just show, there are a few more back up here. There's a few more areas of revenue that we anticipate being able to put on the books later in the fiscal year that will shrink this even further to getting closer and closer to zero and maybe even going positive, but maybe not, and that's okay. And so those just things we haven't baked them into the forecast yet, just because we need more guidance from the state around some of those sources of funding, and that's just not clear yet. So EdTech's advising us just to wait still on that. So I'm going to show you later on in a little bit a multi-year budget. So and you'll see how this operating deficit disappears very quickly. And but if anyone has questions right now about the current year forecast, we can take those, and you can also, in the documents, you can find the details. This is also included in the board packet. So this is the exact same information. You can see the same 91,000 there, but you can also scroll down and you can see how it's, you know, all the sources of revenue, and you can see all the rows of expenses. And if anyone ever wants like to really learn how to read these reports and has questions about any of these rows, come to Finance Committee. Those are a great place to come dig in. Any burning questions on this year's forecast for right now?
I have a question. What is the attendance or that this budget is based on? What number?
Yeah, that's great. 94%.
Okay. And that's at 353 enrolled?
Yep.
Okay. And if I remember correctly, Krishna said that is looking like 357?
No, from your numbers earlier in your report, you were at 357. Yeah, but
okay.
Oh, sorry, you were saying 361. Sorry, I thought you said 351. I apologize. So it's going to be 361, but those aren't all full year students.
Got it.
Yeah. So and attendance might be a little bit higher than 94 right now as well. Also in the forecast, one of our expenses, one of our budget kind of hacks is there is an expense down here called director's contingency, and it's $45,000, which is about 1% of ADA. So that's not actually money we will spend. And so if we hit our ADA goals, we actually recoup that 45. That's one of the budget. That's one of the things like Ed, we do that just helps us have a little bit of a cushion and stuff like that. So that could also help the operating income as well later on this forecast. So we're going to keep watching it, but everything's going well financially. And fundraising is doing a great job as well. So other questions on this year's forecast or cash? Okay, so I'll keep going. So the other thing we had to do then is in a little bit, we're gonna take a vote board on the first interim. And so you can start to see here, the first interim report is simply a report of the exact same numbers we just showed you. We're reporting on 21-22. And you can see the very initial, not approved, but like draft versions of what next year's budget could look like and the following year's budget. And we have to turn this into the county in a couple weeks. So we're gonna be taking action on the first interim report later on. And it gets, all the numbers get put into like a very specific county template, and the county hasn't released the template yet. So we're gonna approve the numbers and then EdTech will just put them in the template and submit it. But you can already start to see as we built out multi-year budget models that as enrollment continues to be strong, the school's fiscal health continues to also to be strong. So any questions on the first interim report? It's actually gonna come back up in a moment, I think, on the agenda separately. Okay, so then the other thing we wanted to share is that we actually built out a budget way further. We built all the way out to school year 25-26. And we did that because there's just been so much one-time money and so much from the state and the federal government. And there's been so many changes around like enrollment and, you know, groups of some grades are lower than others and some grades have, you know, are more impacted than others at our school. And so we just wanted to kind of model out what it would take to kind of get to kind of it's not ideal, but like just like a goal structure of like how many kids and how many teachers and how many classrooms and also get rid of all these one-time funds. Like let's not build a budget based on one-time money that you can't necessarily count on from the state. We still kept in some fundraising there, you can see as we build the budget, as we look out 5 or 6 years from now. But that amount of fundraising, just to be clear, per the number of students we would have that year, is the lowest in the school's history. So we also are trying to say to ourselves, let's raise as little money as we think we need to, you know, like, and if we don't, you know, if we don't need to run this model on any private money, great, let's run this model on publicly recurring revenue. And so when we ran all these numbers and we worked with Krishna and made all these assumptions, you know, it turned out that we could have a projected operating balance of like $81,000 every year. So you could, you know, which would basically mean we could lower fundraising even lower. So just the work for the board to understand is that the finance committee just, you know, we dug into this. We see a way to like have a long-term financially stable model that pays the teachers, that pays the rent, that buys the materials. And it's really just about managing enrollment. It's about making sure we've got the right kids and the right grade levels to form the right multi-age classrooms. And we're on our way. So it's really exciting. School's in year 10, and it took us a long time to kind of see that that kind of light at the end of the fiscal tunnel to know that, like, yeah, we can do this. We can get to the right, not too big. We don't want to be, you know, we can't be too big, but we also can't be too tiny either to kind of make it all work. So that was a lot there. I'll pause again. Any questions about, there's no action to take on this long-term budget. We're not approving the 25-26 budget now. It was just an exercise to understand how we're going to manage kind of the lack of all these big one-time monies and still make sure the school was going to be what it needed to be.
This is Jan. Very much appreciate that work. Can you say more about the enrollment? I'm curious around the where we envision the 75 students. Is it from, you know, TK? Know that I think, yeah. How much is
kind of zoom? I'm trying to zoom in, but it won't let me. There. You guys can see this too. This is my like favorite spreadsheet. So, okay, sorry. This is also a public doc. I don't think it's a part of tonight's agenda. I can add it to the documents section for sure, but it's been a part of other public meetings before. If anyone wants to, I can grab a here. I can chat the link too. One moment. So all of this is built into our charter. This is not increasing the size of the school by like a material, you know, way. This is simply, if you just notice, this is just like a number of kids coming in TK and K and just staying with us. What's happened is if you look back a few years, we just have smaller, if you look at last year's, you know, fifth graders from a couple years ago or sixth graders, like that, the more, what this story is that more and more kids at Urban are staying longer. Right, are staying longer, so we just have fuller grade levels is a part of it. And then the other dynamic is that the school a couple years ago started accepting applications for students in grades 4 through 8, so that also supported enrollment in grades 4 through 8. But this is actually the budget year 25-26 actually has one classroom fewer than what we have right now. Which, don't be freaked out. That's not means no one's going to get fired or anything. That's not how it works. And it's years from now. But we modeled it being a 3 primary classrooms, 4 lower elementary, 4 upper elementary, and then middle school you can really play. But it's like probably like 3 groups of kids, but they might have 4 teachers or 3.5 teachers, or they kind of can triangulate around. So it's really about having just balanced, full grade levels and classrooms is really how we get to what was the number around 450, or I can't remember the yeah, and we've played with some of the numbers so many times. So four, this one says 429. Oh, that's the other thing, we're budgeting on 429, right? So that's the other dynamic here. So in this model we're budgeting on 429 kids, but we actually on day one are going to enroll more than that. And that doesn't mean the class sizes are going to be enormous on day one. It means they're going to be just, you know, regular for our school on day one. And then if kids trickle out, you know, that happens. And we don't, you know. So, yeah. Jan, does that answer your question? Jan, you were muted if it did answer your question. Sorry.
Yes, thank you.
Okay. I could talk about this long-term model all the time. Okay, I think then I'm gonna stop sharing my screen and I'm gonna try and remember what else from the finance committee that I wanted to make sure we talked about. We're gonna talk about first interim in a sec. We also discussed the educator effectiveness plan, which we're gonna talk about separately, and we talked about the audit. So those are all separate items, so we'll get to those in just a sec. So I guess with that, I think that's it for 3A. Unless there's other questions on the report so far. Yeah, Deb, that's a huge, Deb is commenting about that we'd have a better handle on our costs if we, you know, around our facility, and that being able to plan around our facility is a big part of modeling the cost. So that is also on our agenda tonight in closed session. So the board definitely is working around how to make sure we can support our staying at our facility for sure as best as we're able. Okay, so then I'm going to just move us on to the next item, which I think was the the first interim report. So I shared the slides. Is there any questions about it's basically the year-to-date forecast with the first couple of next year's draft budgets. Are there any questions about it before or is there a motion?
I had a question. Since the template wasn't available, will we have to vote again?
You know, I don't think so. This has happened before. If the county kicks it back to us, they can do that, and we can approve it in January and turn it in again. But it's their template, and they haven't made it available. So we're going to approve the numbers, and then EdTech advised us they'll just populate it
Okay, great.
Yeah. I'll make a motion to approve the first interim. Okay, Kara seconded it. Is there any, before we vote, is there any public comment? Okay, all right. So then, Davis, are you in the minutes? Do you know how to call a vote? All right. Go ahead, man.
Sorry, I am not as fast as you. All right, this is Davis. I'm voting aye. Greg?
Aye.
Jan?
Aye.
Kara?
Aye.
All right, and if my eyes don't deceive me, Christina, Maru, and Stacy are still not here, so they are absent, so motion passes unanimously.
Awesome, thank you. So the next finance item was the the Educator Effectiveness Plan. So I'm gonna open that up. I can share that real quick. We did a hearing on this plan last time. This was one-time money. It's just shy of $80,000. We have actually, as you can see, up to like 5 years to spend it, but we have qualifying expenses in this year, and this is the hardest of all these fiscal years. We think this is the hardest one, so we figured we'll do our work and put as much revenue as we can this year, assuming that if the plan is adopted. So last time there was some comment to try and put in some more detail in the plan around focus area two. So the committee incorporated a few more details into what kind of training and PD and contracted trainings would be supported by these resources. So that's in there. But it's basically three, we're going to spend this money in three main ways: support for teachers to get their credentials and clear them. That's like support for new teachers. That contracted training and PD for teachers around Montessori instruction and anti-racist practices for students, staff, and families. And coaching and support right on site here for teachers as well. So are there any questions? These are some of those, this is an example of some of those one-time funds. This is not specific to COVID, but it's a different kind of one-time fund. And it's actually the sort of one-time fund that we often get every year. So that's also kind of, the state likes to call them one-time funds because they don't want to promise them to you for the next year, but they often do show up year after year after year. Are there any questions or public comments? All right, with that, is there a motion? Anyone want to make a motion to adopt the Educator Effectiveness Funding Plan? I guess I can fix the spelling.
Make a motion.
Thanks, Jan. I'll second it. Any other last chance, public, or anyone else? You want to make a question or anything? Okay. Davis, you want to call the roll?
This is Davis. I am voting aye. Greg?
Yeah, I'll vote yes.
Jan?
Aye.
And Kara? Aye. All right, motion passes unanimously.
Awesome. All right, do we have another finance thing?
Yes.
We do.
Yes.
No, we did. We did the first interim.
Oh, yeah.
But hold on.
The audit.
Oh, wait. Right. I did have a quick comment about the audit. So the regular audit is not available. We haven't gotten it back from the auditors. So so we can't take action. The board normally every year would takes a vote to accept the audit. So we can't do that, which is unfortunate. It would have been nice. We got a bunch of, we got like, I don't know, it's like 80 different items. You have something you want to share?
It was scheduled, they've had it on there, scheduled the whole time to be completed by the 15th of this month, and we're on schedule for that date. So we may have messed up our like communications about when we needed that for county, but it'll be done the 15th of this month, and have those reports to share at our next finance meeting and our next board meeting.
That's awesome. Yep, that's exactly my understanding. It's showing up for on the county as like they want it earlier, I feel like, but I think there was a state change that pushed it back, but the county hadn't updated their system. So I went ahead and put it on the agenda just to give us the chance to approve it in case it got slipped in and the auditors, you know, emailed it in over to you. And so I just wanted to wanted Christian to have a chance to explain that. And that will also, you can see the G1 audit. That's a separate audit on separate funds, which is in the agenda. There were no audit findings for those resources. Those were all received and spent according to the G1 measure, which is great. And congratulations on another clean audit. I would recommend, I just wanted to share this information. We don't need to take any action tonight. We'll just take action on both audits once they're both ready in January. This is what I, so. So there's any public comment about the audit? Okay, well, it's gonna come back. If you guys wanna talk about it next time, it's all good. Yeah, but it's a ton of work, and Krishna had her whole team like uploading all these things for the auditors. So they have, it's like 80 different deliverables they need. It's so much. Yeah, it might be more. Okay, that's all I got. So I'm going to turn it over to Jan for item 4A for the academic committee.
Okay. Do you want to, should I share? I put in some slides. I should share. Okay. Second. Okay. People see NWA map? Yes. Okay, great. So we talked about these results a lot at the academic committee meeting in November. And what I have here is just a subset of those data. So feel free to go back to that report. But I know I'm trying to be a bit briefer here. So as Daniel said, finished testing like the end of October in reading and math. This is, you know, norm referenced test, and we look at both like overall performance. So look at the percent of students scoring average and above, which is the 41st percentile. And then also look at growth. And these, we're not going to spend too much time on this because we really do like to dig into the growth data and looking at the growth data in winter in particular. So this is showing results over the past couple of years. So fall is the gray bars. So 53% of students were scoring average or above in math. Which you know is down from last year and 1920. So 2020 last fall, everything was remote and students were taking NWA MAP at home. And 1920, was kind of pre-pandemic in the fall, and that year there wasn't spring because school had shifted. So, you know, 53% of students scoring average, down a bit from, you know, 2 years ago. Reading, 63% of students, again, down a bit from the 69% of students pre-pandemic. And just looking at about 60% of the students of these kind of 280-ish students were included in those data like 2 years ago. So obviously some students have left and some students, you know, have graduated and new students have come, but we have about 60% of students who were here 2 years ago in the 1920 data here and tested. This is showing math. I didn't include reading, but there's a similar trend. So wanted to, we broke it down by the grade bands and seeing that students in, you know, in the upper grades are scoring below, kind of much below where we had seen those grade levels kind of pre-pandemic. So in middle school, you know, 2 years ago, those middle school students were 67% of them were scoring average and above. This year, that was only 35% of students. And we do, you know, we do have a couple students who are new this year, and those students are scoring lower than returning, but because there's just a handful of them, it doesn't change this that much. It does go up when you exclude those students, but the vast majority, about 90% of these 37 students were returning. Similarly, yeah, we spent a lot of time kind of talking about this. You know, Daniel was sharing, you know, like he said earlier, that, you know, they kind of resonated based with things that they've seen, you know, the older students having a harder time kind of coming back. And, you know, we went into that conversation and very much appreciate, Daniel, all the work just in the past couple of weeks then that the team has done to think about better supporting and some changes to try out in upper grades. Okay. Then, okay, I'll get to the question in a second. This is showing math, growth. And this is fall to fall. Since as like last fall, yeah, students were kind of taking it at home. The numbers are, you know, a bit lower than we've seen in other years, but I think right now it's, I feel like, not too concerned about this. We will really be looking at growth in winter, yeah, I think are seeing some lower growth than we had. And hold on, just seeing if I had another note. This one, math, the 36%, it does look a bit different by the grade bands, and some of the upper grades do have a bit stronger growth than the second and third graders. In reading, it's very similar, kind of all grade bands are about that 33% of students met targets. Here again, and reminder, this is like norm reference. So like 50% of students is kind of average what you might expect. And then, you know, we have a goal, I think, of 60% of students. Then this is looking by race, ethnicity.
And a note that due to limited number of students, not all groups are shown here. On the left is showing the achievement level, so students scoring that average or higher. And on the right is looking at students who met their growth targets fall to fall. And it's comparing this fall to 2 years ago to the kind of pre-pandemic numbers. And do here see Hispanic Latino students have kind of the biggest dip compared to 2 years ago, both in terms of absolute achievement as well as growth. And again, these are math results, but similar similar trends in reading. Overall reading achievement levels are higher than math achievement. And I think with this, you know, Daniel's update is much more relevant, and you kind of went into it. Yeah, you know, sharing and discussing with the teachers and using it. You know, really thinking about the upper grades, and you know, this is you know, one assessment and one data point. We had conversations, and as Daniel has Krishna shared here, like really good work is happening in the classrooms. There's a lot of lessons being delivered, and this leadership really feeling strongly that have very solid plans, things are being executed. We'll you know, kind of continuing on the path with some tweaks, and then we'll really dig into, you know, growth data in the winter, but still feeling optimistic about seeing strong growth in the winter.
Yeah, so just to just to add to that, the staff has this data as well as classroom, the data broken down that by classroom. And so that's something that all staff has seen. That's also coming up in our coaching meetings where we're looking at classroom specific data and then looking at like who are our target students moving forward. And that's also gonna be something that we look at in our PD day on January 3rd.
When is winter testing?
It's the end of January. And let's see, I see, Deb, your question in the chat. It's hard to say. I think there's definitely questions that we have around, especially that first fall assessment last year. That was the first time that we were doing the NWA in distance learning. So I know that there was question marks around the data that we got there. And it was like really high. and I know in, especially for the lower grades, there was questions like after the NWA of like, oh, we see like somebody like leaning in and talking to the student as they're taking the test. And so that kind of thing. So the growth data there, like from the fall to fall, is something that we have wonderings about, and like looking forward to seeing what that fall to winter really looks like, where we have two in a row of in-person similar testing condition. Kind of things happening.
And just in terms of administration this year was different, doing it more kind of small group. It seemed that that went well. You know, it is hard to kind of quantify, you know, in engagement and administration, but something to look out is like test times, and average test times were solid. And, you know, overall are about, you know, an hour, which is really good. And so don't, you know, kind of off the bat, don't have concerns from that. NWA also has kind of a rapid guessing percentage, which can be a flag. And they're, you know, one or two students out of everyone who kind of had that. So I think, you know, especially this fall, don't have concerns with the, you know, administration. I think the other thing from academic committee is just we are going to meet this month. So we do have a meeting in like a week and a half. So welcome anyone to attend. I think we'll be digging into attendance and middle school.
Is there any public comment or other questions?
Hi, this is Donald. I have a ton of questions and probably probably too many to ask right now. But in looking at the data, are you guys also keeping track of, you know, the difference in scoring for the students who have been in Urban Montessori, you know, since, you know, TK, K, or first, second grade, versus those who were brought in the fourth, fifth, or sixth grade?
We haven't. I think that was something that kind of this time last year we were talking about a lot as we were talking about the charter renewal, and then you know the charter renewal was pushed out, and so we didn't we didn't do a lot of analysis that we had been planning on, and obviously school, you know, went back into in session. I for this as a follow up to the academic committee did look just at, you know, returning students versus new students, and we're seeing that difference, but haven't dug into students who maybe have been since TK, K all the way through and how that's comparing to others. I think that definitely would be worthwhile analysis and could work with Danielle and Krishna and Buck to try to get data to be able to answer those questions.
Thank you. And then my last question, and so I was looking at the ethnic data regarding the performances. And so has anyone tried to figure out, like, for I guess it was the white students and the multi-ethnic students, scores were pretty high versus the Latinx and the Black students. And so are we looking at what those, I guess, the higher performing ethnicities are doing, I guess, prior to attending Urban Montessori that affects, you know, their performance versus what the Latinx and Black communities are doing, which, you know, I mean, in looking at it, you know, if, I guess, in terms of opportunities and resources, like, you know, what's the difference in what's being done prior to attending Urban Montessori school, or even while they're at Urban Montessori school, to, you know, have those type of scores? And how can, you know, what resources or how can you reach out to the Latinx and Black communities in order to help improve those scores, like reach out to the communities in advance, whether it's while they're at Urban Montessori school or even community reach or community outreach prior to even attending the school, so that once they get to the school, they're performing at the same level.
Yeah, so
that's... Do you understand the question?
That's exactly... Oh, sorry, you go ahead. Are you finished?
Sorry, I was just making sure you understand the question because I was being kind of wordy. But do you understand what I'm asking?
Totally. And so there's work happening exactly around that. So there we have a couple working groups with staff right now. One of them is looking specifically at literacy for our African-American students specifically. And we're kind of looking at all the studies which talk about exactly all the things that you're talking about. And then there's kind of a second group that connects to around community outreach and like, how are we, what are better ways that we can now then connect to our families to either support in some of whatever those resources are, or in even before they come to Urban Montessori, right? So like getting, starting to talk to families before their students arrive here. So those are actually like two groups that are really in the past month or so getting off the ground and starting to do that work.
I don't quite remember, but I feel like there was a moment where maybe it was earlier in the pandemic, you know, when with the remote instruction administered MAP test, but we had really like there was like a closing of those traditional too frequently seen gaps between different racial groups. I think it was on the growth targets.
It was the winter to winter.
Yeah, that we had like.
Yeah, I think last year. Mm-hmm. And you can see it here, even in the growth from 2 years ago. You know, not some difference, but not too big a gap in growth data.
So, I think some of what I've heard from that I recently joined the academic committee. But just hearing other reports too, just it sounds like we're just like trying to get back to some of the instructional moves that were making that progress like right before in the the pandemic, and then also addressing needs that kids have returned to in-person instruction with coming out of the pandemic. So I think, yeah, I mean, it sounds like yes to new committees and new, you know, for sure. And like if there was something that was starting to work, how do we help people get back to those things? But you know, context changes, so maybe those aren't going to work the same as they did a couple years ago now that we've had a pandemic. I don't know. That was just a comment, not a question.
And Donald and others encourage you to come to the academic committee meeting where we can dig in more and ask other questions. We had some more community involvement in November and it was great, made for more robust conversation and discussion.
You're gonna get Donald on the board, Jan.
Great.
I'm all for it. That's what I'm here for. Me and Daniel have had a couple conversations about it. So let's make it happen.
All right, any other public comments on this one?
All right, it does not seem like there are any other questions for academic oversight. So we will move on to Family Advisory Council. Kara, are you, no, sorry. Is it Maru? Is Maru here?
Maru is not here, so I'm going to do it.
Okay, all right.
I'm going to share my screen. There we go. Can everybody see that? Not yet. There we go. Okay, so we have been having meetings, which is great. We had our first FAC meeting led by our new president, Sita, on November 9th. It was very well attended and had good conversations. People had lots of ideas and feedbacks and ideas for moving forward. We had Dr. Rogers-Ard's second parent education night before last, which had about 13 participants and there were some good conversations there as well. Her stuff is interesting. Computer's jumping red. We've got morning coffee on December 10th at 8:30. It's under the pergola. Do not go to the front door if parents attend, because that makes our staff very stressed out. We've got a campus beautification day on December 11th. It's the Saturday from 10 to 1. There's a sign up for that on Parent Square. And our next online FAC meeting is December 14th. That also has information on Parent Square if you want to RSVP and get the Zoom.
We have our staff appreciation lunch coming up on December 15th. There are lots of volunteer opportunities either to contribute financially to pay for the caterers or to help set up and break down or to provide food. Fundraising, our winter auction is live and we're looking ahead at planning some virtual fundraisers. We have really exciting, excited parents on the fundraising committee this year, and it's great to hear all their different ideas and things they want to try that we haven't done before. So that's really cool. I think this is a first. Our FAC meetings are calendared through the rest of the school year. They're all on Parent Square, so people can go and plug them into their own calendars. We've got two more sessions with Dr. Rogers Ard this year in February, the history of whiteness. We already have 13 RSVPs for that. And then April, we have anti-blackness. We have 15 RSVPs for that. So that is the stuff that the FAC has in store. I don't know if Sita is still here, if she wants to contribute anything else, but we've got some good planning going on.
I just want to add, we have a lot of eager parents, which is really awesome. And I think the only thing that's really, holding us back from doing stuff is just our inability to kind of meet in person in large numbers. So, you know, we're trying to do as much as we can in small groups, and I'm going to continue to have the working groups host as many small things as possible just so that we can try to get every parent on campus, maybe for one event. I feel like we should start, we're going to start setting goals for ourselves around participation and, from every family. So we're going to start to track some of that stuff so that we can just kind of may have a measurement of how many families are coming to campus, you know, for events outside of the school, you know, outside of the academic school year. And then getting support that way. We just want to make sure that we're meeting the needs of all of the families on campus, if they have needs from us.
One just quick comment. That's awesome to hear about the parent enthusiasm for all that stuff and wanting to volunteer and help. That's great. And you and the FAC can totally have goals around participation rates and all that sort of stuff. Just want to be crystal clear, we cannot require. It is not required and shall not be required. That's all.
Yes, totally understand. Totally understand.
Are there any other questions for FAC?
Quick question, how do you join the sessions for the Family Advisory Council, like the different workshops? Like I see the announcements on Parent Square, but how do you join them?
So every committee, there's like a person who's in charge of that committee. And right now, the committees are meeting in a really ad hoc way, like just texting each other and, you know, coming up with an event or something. But if you want to send me an email or find the working groups on Parent Square, you can join the groups and then you can just kind of see what's happening in like the teacher appreciation working group committee. So there, each working group has a space on Parent Square, but I can also put you in the direct you to the person that you want to be in contact with.
Okay, are the links, well, I mean, as far as the, like the workshops, are the links normally posted on Parent Square?
Yeah, I usually put them in the calendar items.
Okay.
And I usually do it like, maybe like a day before, just so that they're not hanging out there forever.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, no problem. I hope you will join us at our next meeting.
Are there any other questions for FAC? I will hand it over to Greg for Executive and Governance Committee. I will jump into notes.
Sure. This one should be much faster than the finance one. So let's see here. The committee met. The committee at the time just reviewed and discussed the OUSD's COVID-19 vaccine mandate for students just to try and understand it, make sense of it. The committee discussed the head of school's evaluation for this school year, just the process of it, and there weren't any changes or anything or updates to that process. Where we are is we're actually about to probably in early January, although we might do it before the break, we'll open up. One of the first steps is that Krishna does kind of a mid-year reflection, like a self-reflection. So that kind of kicks off along with all the other stuff that happens new in the new calendar year. That's part of the governance committee's work. And then we also took up board membership. So we know that we have, we acknowledge that Stacy is heading off. So at the end of December, the board would be 6 board members. But we have a couple new folks and one on the agenda for tonight for consideration. So the committee discussed that nomination of Sarah, and she's on the agenda in just a moment. The other things for the committee, just as always, are that new board members have to complete a form, what's it called, Form 700, every time when you join the board. You also fill it out when you leave the board, and then you also do it once a year. And we link to it on the agenda. And it's always the right time to find more board members. Our bylaws let us have up to 11. So we got plenty of room. There's plenty of work to do. We're excited to keep meeting new capable folks and have them join the board. And then the other thing that we do really need board members to do, and Krishna, you might have updates on this, is the board clearance process. Board members need to be fingerprinted. And Krishna has instructions on where you can go to do that, and the school covers the costs and all that good stuff. So, and the county just this week asked again for our board members to finish that process. So expect board members, if you don't have it done, that Krishna or I are going to be texting you and making you go do it. And that's all I have on that. Okay. All right. So we're going to take up Sarah's nomination in a moment separately. And then we're also going to separately talk about like board member board officers, because we need to make some changes to officers and committee members in a moment as well. But just on the first part of the committee's report, any questions on the committee's report or public comments? All right. I know. It was not that thrilling of a committee meeting. It's all good. Then with that, we'll go into B, a vote of board membership. I am excited to nominate Sarah Morrill for a term of board service. It would start Jan 1, so she doesn't start like immediately. She's not going to vote later on. Sarah's resume is there. We've discussed her a couple times. She's been attending our meetings as a member of the public for the last couple of months, which has been fabulous. It's really just shown just that you're committed, and like, cause like, it's just like, it's, you know, it's just volunteering and it's not always the most exciting stuff. So just thrilled to have you, and you can see in her resume, but I'm particularly excited about Sarah's experience in Oakland Public Ed, and being a school leader, and just what that experience that she'll bring to our board and the support Krishna. So, your board members, if you want to, ask questions of Sarah. Public, you can pepper Sarah with questions. Sarah, you don't have to make a statement, but if you want to make a statement, you can. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Hey everyone, Sarah Morrill. Like Greg said, I worked in Oakland. In Oakland Public Schools at Lazier Charter Academy for 5.5 years. Prior to that, I've been in K-12 education work since I drove away from Colorado College such a long time ago now and drove to Atlanta, Georgia, where I taught third grade Then I did some teacher coaching, and then I ran the Teach for America West Coast training program for a number of years. And then wanted to work more closely with kids and communities. And so came, and that's when I started my work at Lazier. I have since went back to grad school. I got my MBA at Berkeley here in the Bay. And then I just started a new role just a few months ago. I work for a nonprofit now that specifically focuses on helping climate scientists bring their technology to market. And I am running the leadership education that they experience over the course of their 2-year fellowship. So it's very different. My partner is also in education. He is the principal at Lionel Wilson Academy on 105th in Oakland. It's one of the Aspire schools. So we're still very education focused in our family, but I wanted to still have some connection personally to the K-12 world. And we live on Enos Avenue, half a block up. So it was an opportunity to be connected to a school in my community. And we have 2 sons. Oliver is 4 and Liam is 8 months. And that is all that I do in my free time. So that's about it for me. So open, yeah, to any questions I can answer for folks, but I'm really excited to get to know you all.
All right. Well, I'm gonna nominate Sarah for a 2-year term, and in 2 years from now, I'm gonna nominate her for another one. Is there a second for that nomination? Okay, Kara's saying she'll second. So before we vote, is there any other public comment or any other discussion? Okay, Davis, are you in the minutes? So will you call the roll?
This is Davis. I am voting aye. Greg?
I vote yes.
Jan?
Aye.
Kara?
Hi.
And I believe Christina, Maru, and Stacy still are not here, so they are absent. So motion passes unanimously. Welcome, Sarah.
Welcome
to the board. As of January.
As of January. So Sarah, I'll follow up on a bunch of little things, but it should be pretty good. So that means with Stacy cycling off and Sarah cycling on, come January, we'll still be a board of 7. We'll see how fast we can get Donald interested and on here, and we would happily grow to 8. So we'll still be 7, so quorum will still be 4. All right, so there you go. And so now we can move on to the next item, which is C, which is to talk about officers and board and committee members. So I'm going to make a nomination that Kara joins the academic committee. Does anyone want to second that nomination?
Second.
Jan will second. Is there any, do you need a minute, Davis? Was that a timeout? Okay, it's fine. I can listen back and we can, it's okay.
Okay, all right. So Kara's joining the academic committee.
Yeah, and I made a motion and Jan seconded it. And before we take any action, we can have any public comments on that. Anything else? I think it's Jan and me right now. And is that it?
Yeah, it's just the 2 of us.
Yeah, it's just the 2 of us. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Any comments on Kara joining academic? Sarah, we can totally discuss in just a moment Sarah joining committees, absolutely. But any public comment on Kara? All right, Davis, I think you're good. You can call the roll.
All right, this is Davis. I am voting aye. Greg?
Yes, put her on.
Jan?
Aye.
And Kara?
You can abstain, sure. Yeah, that's fine. Right. You can vote yes, it's fine. Whatever, but you're abstaining. She's abstaining. That's fine.
She abstains. All right.
We're, So we're four. So it's a majority of the four. So it takes three votes to pass something tonight. So you got three votes. You're good.
All right. So the motion passes. All right.
So then I also want to make a motion that Maru join the finance committee. And I know she's not here right now, but I know she will accept that nomination. We've confirmed that. Yeah. So is there any public comment on Maru joining the finance committee? We'll say as of Jan 1. I meant to say as of Jan 1 for you too, but no, for you, why don't you do it? You're going to go to December. So you're as of December. That was So
I
we're all
like that.
Yeah, Jan likes that. I like that. David, you like that for Kara?
Yes.
Right. So that's immediate. Great. We're on the record. Good, good, good. And I'm saying for Maru, we'll do it as of Jan 1. We don't have a meeting in December anyway. So we'll do it as of Jan 1 because then Stacy's off as of that, you know, so we're good. Okay. Or any comments on Maru joining finance? All right.
What did someone second it?
Kara did. All right, call it up.
Okay, this is Davis. I'm voting aye. Greg?
Yes.
Jan?
Aye.
And Kara?
Aye.
All right.
Aye.
So as of Jan 1.
Motion passes unanimously.
All right. So the other thing we need to do, let's do Sarah next. Sarah, are you interested in any committees right away?
Academic.
Academic, love it. I make a nomination that Sarah joined the academic committee as of tonight, tomorrow.
As of January 1.
Oh, as of January 1, right. But you can come. You can come as a member of the public. Great, as of Jan 1, perfect. Is there a second?
Second.
Kara seconds.
Kara seconded.
Okay. Any public comment on Sarah joining academic in the new year? All right.
This is Davis. I am voting aye. Greg?
Aye.
Jan?
Aye.
And Kara?
Aye.
Okay. So that makes, I think then the next move then I might resign then from the academic committee. So I'm going to just say I'll resign as of Jan 1. I'll stay on till the end of December. And that way you guys are still, you're three and your quorum will be two and I have one less meeting to go to. And Jan, you got a couple of newbie folks, so I think you'll be in good hands.
Great. Thank you for joining me for a couple months.
It was awesome.
So it wasn't just me.
It's the one committee I probably most want to be on, but it's a popular one and I'll make my efforts elsewhere. It's all good. So I'm resigning at the end of the month.
I will second this motion.
Oh, you don't have, no, there's no vote on that, my friend.
Oh, no.
I just declare it. I declare it so. Yeah, I'm out.
Hold on for a second. How do I record this?
Well, just make a statement. I'll help you put a note in. Don't worry.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Yeah, it'll go in the minutes. And then we needed to make one more change, which is as of the end of the year, we don't have a treasurer of the board, which is also our finance committee chair. So we now have three options, three committee members, Davis, myself, and Maru are all on the finance committee and our bylaws disallow our board chair from also serving as the treasurer. So Davis, I know he really wanted to do it, but he can't do it. And Maru, while I'm still working on her, she's not quite ready to accept. I told her she'd be great at it, and she would be great at it, but she's not quite ready to leap into the deep end and be the treasurer in like month one of joining the board, which is totally reasonable. Are there anyone want to make a nomination?
I would like to nominate Greg to become the board's treasurer.
Second.
So, motion to have Greg become treasurer of the board. Sorry, was that Kara that seconded?
It was.
Okay. All right. Is there any discussion on this nomination? All right. This is Davis. I'm voting aye. Greg?
I'll abstain.
Jan?
Aye.
And Kara?
Aye.
Okay.
All right. Motion passes.
And we do, just so everyone knows, we'll redo all of our officers and take new votes on everything in June to tee us up for the new fiscal year. So, you know, and I have already told Maru, the moment she's ready to accept a nomination, we will bring a nomination to switch her in if she wants it. So thank you. That was a lot. I don't think we have any other committee comings and goings. Did we get it? I think we got it all. Okay. We agendize that every month so that we can always go through those fun shenanigans and put people where they need to be. All right. Then I go on to the next item then, Davis? 7A?
Yes. Yes.
So I think, you know, one of the main, I had two offerings for kind of recent pieces of information I wanted to share. So the one was around just the student vaccine mandate and the latest information from last night, which Oakland side wrote up. So like I said, it's in the document section so people can get more information about the delay, the 30-day delay in enforcement of that mandate for students. The other update are just that their financial. One is that it seems like we're going to get the governor's first draft budget in January. So in January, the governor will propose his state budget for all of next fiscal year, starting July 1st. And so far, the information we're getting is that state revenues are well above their own forecasts and expectations, which is always a good thing, and it's good for public ed. So hopefully that we'll see what happens in January. The other financial update was just that since we last met as a board, the county, Alameda County, issued what they call a letter of going concern related to OUSD's financial status and their budget. They also conditionally approved OUSD's budget, I believe, at the same time. But basically, the letter said, but we have concerns about your upcoming fiscal years. The OUSD board appealed that letter to the state superintendent of instruction, Tony Thurman, and Tony Thurman denied the appeal. And so OUSD now is board members and staff and community members are there is an online petition to encourage Superintendent L.K. Monroe at the county to rescind her letter, like to just kind of voluntarily rescind it, or to ask Tony Thurman to still go back and still grant the appeal. So they're still, you know, trying to deal with that dynamic. And in the same time, OUSD's response is that they are working to make sure they have a balanced budget, and that they don't think that that the issues are as that the timing of them are not, like that it's not a crisis yet. You know, if it were to be a crisis, it would be that the board didn't take like further actions, but that the board has made it clear they believe they've made it clear that they intend to follow through on their other fiduciary responsibilities and take additional actions, and so therefore the letter from the county wasn't needed. That was kind of the gist of their appeal. So I just wanted to make sure we all knew that like that was a dynamic that was going on with our local school district and the state, and they are also just today they have their own budget committee and they were looking at their first interim report. And so there'll be a lot more information later this month. And by the time we meet again in January, we'll have a lot more information about how their fiscal house is doing. And hopefully it will continue to improve and improve and improve, which will be great. I think those were my main updates that I had. Did anyone else have something that they've seen in the news or around town about Oakland Unified, around the county office or California, and any potential implications for Urban Montessori? All right, is there any public comment on this item? Okay, then I think we'll go on. I'll switch back to the minutes, Davis, and because we'll I'll take a minute about how we are about to take action on less minutes. I think that's where we're on, right?
That is correct. All right. Sorry, I'm hopping back to the agenda. Okay. Does anyone have any questions on the minutes from our October 28th board meeting? If there is no discussion on those minutes, can I have a motion on those minutes?
I make a motion.
Jan makes a motion to approve the October 28th minutes. I will second it. Greg, will you take the vote?
I will. Right. Davis.
Aye.
This is Greg. I vote yes. Jan?
Aye.
Kara?
Aye.
It's so funny here on in the minutes tracking system, it says aye and no, and you put, you know what it is? That's why you hear Davis and I saying aye. You know, it's like we're reading the word aye.
It literally says aye, yeah.
Okay, we've all right. The minutes. There is okay. No general consent, so we can just. General consent. That. Yeah.
All right. Are there any items that anyone would like to see for future board meetings? Either from the board or from the public? All right. If not, we will move into closed session. Greg, would you like to explain our closed session?
Sure. So in a moment, we're going to pause the recording, and it's just going to be the board and the head. And if anyone wants to, and we're going to go in tonight in closed session, and it's 7:55 right now. We're going to go in on two items. One is public employee performance evaluation of our head of school. The other item is a conference with a real property negotiator, who is our head of school, related to this facility that we're in, our current campus, and the under negotiation is instructions to our negotiator will concern price and terms. So we're required to orally report out, you know, and have on our agenda what we're going into closed session around, those two topics. And when we return from closed session, we'll start back up our recording, and we report out orally, and we'll put in the minutes as well if we take any actions. So if there are any votes, those get reported out. There's no immediate reporting out of like the discussion that we have in closed session. So with that, I'm going to pause the recording. So one moment.
All right, we are returning to open session. There were no actions at 8:23 p.m. There were no actions taken. And with that, we will adjourn this meeting at 8:23 p.m. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.